Probably the most way-out vehicle at the drag festival was a jet-propelled go-kart, which, pushed by a pair of miniature jet engines, gave a demonstration run to the obvious delight of the spectators. The offensive smell of the thermaline fuel, burnt by the tiny jet engines, rather overshadowed the bravery of the intrepid driver, Alan Burgess, as the little machine attained a terminal speed close to 80 miles an hour. Rather more familiar sounds and smells heralded a demonstration by one-legged veteran Morris Brierley with his blown Vincent engine sidecar outfit Methanon. But even world record holders can err, as Morris shows by missing a gear and losing that precious second to return a time of 13.56 seconds. This is how things should have sounded, a recording made of Morris earlier in 1964. One of the most entertaining aspects of drag racing are match races arranged between quite dissimilar but evenly matched competitors. American team captain Dante Deuce pitted his massive 4.7-litre Cobra sports car against Dennis Jenkinson's tiny 1.5-litre Dragon Dragster. In all the excitement, Jenks missed a gear and the Cobra came home the winner in 11.95 seconds. An even more extreme contrast was seen in one of the many car versus motorcycle match races, which were a unique and very popular feature of the festival. The huge Mercury Comet saloon of Ronnie Sox took on Alfie Hagen's motorcycle, and the roar of the 7-litre V8 engine motor completely drowns the healthy beat of the 1100cc Jap V-twin. Although both Hagen and Sox turned comparable times throughout the festival, on this occasion, the big red, white and blue car reached home a very narrow winner at 126 miles per hour. The long-awaited duels between Alan Allard in his Dragon and American Doug Church in his Porsche-powered dragster were close-fought indeed. The Allard supercharged methanol-fueled 1.5 litres were just able to master the unblown petrol-burning 2 litres on aggregate over several matches. On this occasion, however, Church ran home the winner in 11.67 seconds at 114 miles per hour against Allen's 11.93 seconds at 122 miles per hour. Alan Allard also took his seat in Father Sidney's Chrysler-powered dragster, the first machine built to the American pattern in England, to take on Dante Deuce in Moonbeam. After losing out at the start, Alan pulled back Deuce's lead to slam home the winner, the best time ever recorded by the big car, 10.28 seconds, close to 150 miles per hour. Now, whilst the match races provided the fun during the drag festival, the serious business of the day was, of course, the class elimination. Amongst the motorcycles in particular, competition was fast, furious, and exceedingly close. Top dogs in the up to 500cc class were veteran Jack Terry and Eamon Hurley. Predominant in this run is the 498cc Speedway Jack motor in Jack's Special, as he eliminates 17-year-old Stephen Woods during the first Blackbush meeting. Stephen was riding his ex-Francis Williams 500 Jap-engine Norton. And here he is again, this time with Eamon Hurley's Manx Dragster, which, despite giving away 150 cc's, takes a narrow win with a 12.87 elapsed time, Eamon's first ever run under 13 seconds. In the 500 to 750cc class, the outstanding rider was Pete Smith, whose unblown 750cc Meckel-Holinghagen triumph carried him through to second place overall on aggregate. The next best competitors in this class were Bill Bragg on his blown 650 Triumph engine Blue Peril and Jeff Garside's ultra-low-built machine with blown BSA power unit. During one of his elimination runs with Bill Bragg, Jeff makes a poor start, but comes home a surprised victor as Blue Peril's motor cuts out halfway down the strip. And so to the big motorcycle boys, the 750 to 1500cc class. In this star-packed group were to be found the foremost quarter-mile experts of Britain and the United States, and we now have an opportunity not only to listen to some of the festival's finest runs, but also to follow in detail the eliminations during finals day at Blackpool. As Berkshire gamekeeper David Page, riding his big unblown Vincent Special, shares a practice workout with ex-Brooklands veteran Ernie Woods on his 1000cc Jap twin-engine monster Thor. And so to the elimination lineup. American Don Hyland had broken his gearbox on the Parasite and so didn't show. This left 10 hot contenders which were paired as follows: Paul Gray and Ernie Woods, Alan Beaumont and Howard German, Ian Ashwell and Alfie Hagen, George Brown and Bill Wood, and David Page and Neville Higgins. And it is these two who start the first round action. Higgins hurls himself into the next round at 135 miles per hour in 10.85 seconds, and his next opponent is soon resolved, as Ernie Wood gives Paul Gray's Harley Davidson a dusting in 11.95 seconds. Curious eight-cylinder effect proclaims the next first-round runoff. The Ford Cortina engine special of Alan Beaumont is matched against Howard German's incredible dragway machine. This consists of a blown Volkswagen engine in a 14-foot-long concoction with the intrepid Howard perched in best slingshot manner behind the rear wheel. Despite the dragway's strange appearance, the machine justifies the hope of its designer, Clive Way, by eliminating Beaumont in 11.14 seconds at 129 miles per hour. Howard German's victory looks to be short-lived, however, as Alfie Hagen joins him in the second round, having disposed of Ian Ashwell's Satan in 10.78 seconds. Il Maestro George Brown's first-round opponent is Virginian Bill Wood, And all American hopes are finally dashed as Super Nero comes storming through to take the race in 10.71 seconds at the staggering speed of 147 miles per hour. So to the second round, with Higgins matched against Woods, and German versus Hagen, with George Brown's lower lapse time earning him a bye and time to breathe. Neville Higgins fights through to the semi-finals by defeating Ernie Hill. And Alfie Hagen joins Neville by eliminating Howard German's accelerative fire ladder. The semi-finals run to resolve whether the lightweight unknown Hagen Jack Forster or the big blown Vincent Jindavik is to join battle with Super Nero in the final. And Alfie takes it, to the joy of his many supporters and the satisfaction of everyone who had seen other sizzling Brown-Hagen matches earlier in the festival. The 30-odd thousand spectators stand to watch the battle of the giants. But the quarter mile gives no quarter, and in drag racing there is no second chance. Somehow Alfie has a virtual walkover with 10.95 against George's 12.73. And as no one seems to know the reason why, we are left to make up our own minds with the recorded evidence. For all that, George Brown brings home the bacon on aggregate, edging out the amazingly consistent Pete Smith on his Hagen triumph, with Alfie himself taking third place overall. And the world is shown that, for the time being at any rate, the motorcycle kings of the quarter mile have British accents and ride British machines. Not so, however, on the four-wheel side of the picture. The long experience gained by the Americans at their own game of drag racing has left the rest of the world with a handicap which will take some time to overcome. But not one of the people who saw the festival will begrudge the advantage held by the colourful and friendly Americans who showed us how to go drag racing. Firstly, Dave Strickler and Ronnie Sox, who delighted us with their faultless displays of manual gear changing on the Vast Dodge and Mercury Comet factory experimental saloon. Then there was the only American who came to England in the knowledge that he might be beaten by a British car, Doug Church from Bellflower, California, whose little two-liter Porsche engine dragster was thought by many to be the best engineered car in the festival. And who could forget Dante Deuce from Las Vegas, who managed to combine the duties of American team manager with driving three cars. One of these was Tony Nancy's original dragster 22 Junior, and it was in this car during the second meeting of the festival that Deuce had a narrow escape when he hit a finish line marker board at nearly 150 miles per hour. The blown Plymouth engine dragster was virtually destroyed, but Deuce stepped out, oil-stained but unhurt, to complete many more runs in the blown Chevrolet-powered sports car Moonbeam. Without doubt, the most entertaining American cars were the two Willys Coupes, or Coupes in their parlance, of vintage appearance and shattering performance. Virginian K.S. Pittman was a pioneer of this type of drag racing hybrid, and his experience has brought him top honors in his class in the States. George Montgomery calls his similar car the world's wildest Willis, and this claim was amplified every time the tall, powder-blue machine bounced its fantastic way down the quarter mile. On this, the car's last run, the steering arm broke, only revealing itself when George tried to turn off the stick at the finish of yet another run at over 140 miles per hour. The Californian team of Keith, Goodnight and Williamson impressed everyone with their quiet efficiency and pleasant manners. Their immaculate Dos Palmas petrol-burning dragster just ran and ran, and the blown Chevrolet-powered car turned a best time of 9.11 seconds, 171 miles per hour, which sounded like this. This car has now been brought back to England, the first American dragster to be owned and run by a British team. Tony Nancy had probably suffered more setbacks during the 2 weeks of the festival than anyone. But despite losing his beautiful dragster 22 Junior in the Chelveston accident and blowing up 4 8-litre Plymouth engines in the wedge, Tony never lost his sense of humour. And when he got his revolutionary car really going in this run, there is no doubt as to the effectiveness of the radical design, as the clocks record 8.98 seconds and 176 miles per hour. Two names not so far given prominence in this story of the 1964 Drag Festival are those of the drivers of the two most dramatic machines in the United States team, the massive nitromethane-fueled dragsters of Don Garlitz and Tommy Ivo. Big Daddy Don Garlitz from Tampa, Florida, probably the greatest drag racer of all time, brought his blown Dodge-powered AA fuel dragster Wins Jammer, fresh from winning the Top Eliminator Award at the NHRA Nationals, a goal which had eluded Garlitz for some 15 years. Popular TV actor Tommy Ivo brought his blown Chrysler engine Valvoline Special to match the Garlitz car, and without doubt the real highlights of the festival were the six brief but shattering match races at over 190 miles per hour between the two fuel dragsters, the most accelerated machines on Earth. The long outlandish machines are pushed slowly side by side up the strip by powerful push cars. Still with silent engines, they turn through 180 degrees and a push started back towards the start line. The 6-litre supercharged Dodge V8 engine of Don Garlitz's car is the first to fire, and the driver blips the throttle to clear the plugs. He trickles slowly back behind the start line, again turns through 180 degrees, and comes up to wait for his opponent, whose supercharged Chrysler engine now breaks into life. Several pregnant seconds, the cars stand snarling at one another like great primeval animals before releasing a combined 2,000 brake horsepower in an earth-shaking run, to leave unbroken black lines of smoking rubber on the English tarmac and an indelible mark on the history of motorsport in Great Britain.